Welcome to episode number 343 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk about some reasons why homeschooling kids love homeschooling so much, and that is right. Today we're going to talk a little bit about why your kid might also like homeschooling. I know we got a lot of you guys that are on the fence or just not in a place where y'all can do it, but I really want to talk a little bit about why is it when we say we pick homeschooling as the Homestead Day Gibson, we don't just do it for us. We do it because we think it helps our kids. We're going to talk a little bit about what do our kids like about it. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello, welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is December the 1st, 2014. It is beginning of the week Monday. That's right, December 1st, man. I'll be honest, I'm recording the show just a little bit earlier than I normally do, and I'm sitting here with a stomach full of turkey and ham right now. Actually, it's not full of it right now because we had a huge kind of a middle of the day brunch, and so now we're playing a game catch up. So I've got the first turkey sandwich squared away for when I get done with this show. I'm going to go make my first turkey sandwich of the leftovers season. Now I promise you that I won't rush through this. I won't blow through it too fast or anything like that. Even if I do want my turkey sandwich, it's coming. Our topic for today is going to be why kids love homeschool. That's right. We're going to talk about some answers that were given by homeschoolers as to why they love it so much. I'm going to give you guys some of the answers that my kids gave as well as to why they love homeschool. You know, we talk about this from a parenting aspect and how much we enjoy it. But the reality is if kids aren't invested in it, well, what happens is, I mean, the same thing that happens at public schools, they're going to get burnt out because they don't love it. So we're going to talk about why is it that our kids do not burn out on public school, homeschooling. And why, even when they have the opportunity to go to public school, we always offer to go stick them in. I mean, some of these property taxes that we're paying would be great if we actually could use them, but they choose not to. We'll stay tuned for that and more. Real quick, guys, before we get into that, some quick housekeeping. If you guys want to get notified of the new episodes that come out here, consider going to thehamlypodcast.com over on the right-hand side where it says episode notifications. Put in your email address and your name, and you will make sure you get put on a list that knows every time you get a new show out. We put it out at different times of the day. Sometimes we knock it out early. Sometimes we have an interview and we knock it out later in the day. Make sure you never miss out on that one episode. If you just could have heard it, it would have changed everything. Don't miss out, guys. Also, don't forget, guys, that if you want to be a member of the show, you can do that at 30 cents per episode. That's right. If you feel like you're getting three dimes out of every single one of these episodes, consider becoming a member. We love whenever you guys come and support us at this show. Remember, we offer these podcasts out completely for free. We do that because we believe that if we can create material and content that's good enough that helps you guys grow and get easier and easier with the kids and experience those successes, we believe that you guys will step up to the plate and be a part of supporting the show. Whenever we do that, you can do it as simple as $5 a month. That's right, as simple as $5 a month. You go to the Family Podcast, click on Become a Member, and sign up for it. At $5 a month, you can do for a little bit cheaper. You go at $50 for an entire year. When you do that, you can get signed up for exclusive stuff available only through the PTACers, including almost instant access to me and questions. Last, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, remember they come after the PTACer questions, but you can do that. Go to the Family Podcast, go to the Contact Us page. You can leave a voicemail right over your computer. You can also call us 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT. And the number zero. All right, guys, with all of the housekeeping out of the way today, let's get into our topic for today, which again is we're going to talk some reasons as to why it is that homeschooling kids actually like homeschooling. Like we talked about in the intro segment, you know, we spend a lot of time, at least here at the Family Podcast Network, talking about, you know, why it is as parents, why we think it's better, developmental stuff. But the reality is what do kids think about it? And so what this is actually an article that was done over weirdunsocializedhomeschoolers.com. And it was written by a lady named Chris Bales, and she does a great job in it. But basically, the question comes down to is why do kids like to be homeschooled? Because we have kids that love being homeschooled. We've offered them the availability to go to public school. They've got friends that live next door that they love. They go to public school, and we've even discussed that. I mean, they would be able to see some of these friends more, and they've talked about it, but they've still elected to stay home. Now, we're going to talk a little bit today about as to why exactly that is. Now, some of this is just because some of you guys out there who are fellow homeschoolers will look at this and get a good chuckle out of this and say, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's good. But I really want to address the crowd that's sitting on the fence. The crowd of folks that are like, yeah, I see that being a good thing, but you know, we're just not in a place that we can do it at this point. You know, the reality is we weren't either. We were in a spot to where we had lots of debt. We really didn't know if we were going to be able to do this, and we had small house and small incomes, and we had to ask ourselves. I mean, my wife is really intelligent, and we're talking like she scores significantly above my standard deviation. She's like a standard deviation above me in intelligence scales. I mean, she really is smarter. And we really had to consider, were we going to put her into a job? Because she's smart, she can do well, she's driven, she's dedicated, she has a high sense of duty. And we really asked ourselves that. And we really sat back and we felt like the right thing to do was to homeschool kids. And after we had this long conversation, we had to start asking ourselves, how are we going to do it? We just kind of jumped in both feet. And at the time, we looked at it and thought, there's no way this is going to work financially. We just didn't think it was going to be able to work. But we hit it hard, and we got after it, and we started working on that, and we figured out ways to do it. That doesn't mean that we didn't have to cut back. We also, in lieu of all of this, we're also trying to slay a dragon of some pretty massive credit card debt as well that we were stupid with. And so we've had a lot of different elements that we're having to approach on this. And so, you know, what I'm trying to say with all this is that it came down to the point where we just had to make the decision that that's what we were going to do. And here's where we are. So with us being said, we decided to make that decision to do that. We eventually discovered something called unschooling about a year later after making this decision to homeschool. And we've fallen in love with it ever since. And so, you know, we're going to talk a little bit today about why it is that kids love homeschool. Now, remember, when we say homeschool, we think of kind of more of the general broad umbrella of homeschool. However, most people, when they think of it, they think curriculum at home. And so when we say curriculum at home, is that you order some kind of teaching curriculum that you bring home, and either you teach them as the parent, or they basically self-teach themselves out of the curriculum, and they take tests and all that other good jazz, right? So that is one option that they have. When we say that we unschool, we do want to make sure that we separate this out. And because some might argue, well, Trey, of course your kids love it. They don't do what homeschoolers do. And so remember, this list today was about kids that sit down with traditionalized homeschool curriculum. Not my kids that are unschooled, which we're not going to go into today. These are kids that do actual homeschool, and why do they like it, even when, in a lot of ways, it's like replicating a classroom but at home. So let's get into these. Number one is sleeping in. See, now, I have a multivariate reason for why I agree with this one. This is one of the ones that my kids agreed with. They talked about how early that our neighbor friends have to be up. I mean, I'm typically up anywhere from 5:50 to 6:45, depending on which day it is. And when I get up, I always see their light on across the street. And my kids typically don't even get out of bed until 8:15. They typically wake up anywhere from between 7:30 to 8:15. Some of them will sleep in a little bit later, but that was one of their favorite things, or one of their favorite things about it was being able to sleep in. Now, I have a research-based reason for believing this. The chemicals in the brain that get released that wake us up and make us fall asleep are pretty interesting characters when you really look at them. And there is tons of research that has showed that kids do not start releasing the chemical to officially wake them up until typically much later in the morning, not the classic 6:30, 7:30. I have been a major advocate for public schools to push the drop-off time for kids from 8:30 to 9:30 or 10 o'clock, if possible, for quite a long time. We don't really need that amount of time to teach our kids. Why does it matter? Well, with littler kids, it's not nearly as big of a deal. But when you have kids start getting into high school and they're starting to drive, it causes a lot of accidents. And I think this would be one way to trim back a lot of the accidents that teens are having, especially those morning ones, is to push school later. And there's tons of research, again, that shows that or has shown that kids having to wake up as early as they do to get to school when they do now is dangerous. And I think it's poor for their learning ability. When your body is still hasn't even released the chemical in the brain to really wake it up, I think that puts you either having to medicate yourself, whether it's coffee or tea, or you just have to wait through. You have to keep working through the groggy. Which, don't get me wrong, that's sometimes a part of life. I get that. I'm not trying to fuss at the fact that has to happen. But asking kids to do that on an every single day basis, I just don't agree with. Number two on this list was doing school in their PJs. You know, this sounds crazy. And, you know, like, this is varied. For my wife, this is a big thing. She really likes the flexibility of not having kids get dressed. I'm big on that. And that's probably because I grew up going to public school maybe or something like that. But, like, I don't enjoy on days like, you know, my wife often will work sometimes on the weekends. And so sometimes I'm at the house by myself. And, like, I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy sitting in my PJs. And in my pajamas, you know, or whatever in the morning. I typically like to get dressed. It's just something to me about changing into work clothes, quote unquote, that just makes me feel more ready to kind of attack the day. I mean, that's a little cliche there. And when I asked my kids about this one, they actually confirmed it, that they do enjoy not having to wake up. Now, you got to understand, they're at that age where mommy and daddy have to do a lot of the dressing for them. Like, my oldest kids, Grant, Anna, and even Cora, I mean, they dress themselves, but we still have to do, like, their hair and stuff like that. Anna can comb hers, but we have to, Grant's is real curly, and so we have to take care of it, and Cora's, we have to take care of it. And so none of them really like getting dressed at this point, so they really actually kind of enjoy the clothes thing. I didn't think they were going to report on this one. I really didn't think doing the PJs things was going to be their deal, but what they do to learn, they confirm this as well as did several other kids who does this. Number three, it's safe at home. See, I thought this one was really good. And a lot of people get this idea that kids need to go out into this world, and I do think they need to. However, I think that we kick them out so very quickly. And I mean, the reality being is that schools are not the safe place that they used to be. Now, I have a personal opinion. I do think that security officers, SO, should be allowed on campus and be carrying firearms. I do think that any teacher, any public school teacher that is willing to undergo the teaching and the training should be allowed to carry concealed as well. I think we'd solve a lot of problems if every teacher had a firearm and they were proficient on it. And these kind of school shootings happen, I guarantee those kids wouldn't get very far if every single teacher was carrying on them. They just wouldn't make it. And anyway, especially if they had some good training. And again, I think that every teacher should have to agree to this. They should opt in to being allowed to do this. And if there were those that just weren't comfortable with it, that's fine. However, the reality is those kind of shootings do happen, and they are happening. And it's safer at home. I mean, at least in our house, it's safer at home because we have a significant amount of firearms, and my wife is trained on those firearms. So, you know, but I mean, a lot of kids report that it's safer there. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's a mess. We say, well, Trey, that's the exception to the cause. I do agree, but let's also look at bullying. Let's look at kids that just are bullies. It is happening. And so, I mean, this is just a great way to be able to avoid a lot of that negativity. And again, guys, this isn't my thoughts. This is what, whenever they polled kids, these are the ones that came up the most that kids were saying, homeschoolers kids that said that they love the most. I'm going to go ahead and jump down to number nine, freedom. And this, when she wrote this, she said, this is talking about being able to go to the bathroom when you need to go outside when you want to eat when you're hungry, to listen to music while you work, take breaks when you need to. See, that's another big thing that I love homeschooling in general for, is that when, I mean, kids can do and learn and be however they want to be. Some kids need to sit in a classroom and they need to be lectured to. I think there are some kids that just learn better that way, but what about the kid who does better being out in nature? What about the kid who prefers to sit in his treehouse? I mean, it happens. I knew kids years ago when I was first starting to do this that they absolutely love to sit on their trampoline and do work. They love to work on the trampoline, and they did, and their parents let them, and they loved it. I had a kid who would wake up every single morning, and he would actually go out, and he would do all of his work early, and what he did was he was working on building himself this giant tree fort, and he loved that thing. And eventually, I mean, he, you know, working with his dad, he came out there, he built a workbench in it so he could do his homework in it, and he did all of his work in there, and he loved it, and he did so good with it. And so that freedom, you know, I mean, there's even that issue, whenever you have to ask permission to go to a bathroom. I mean, I understand that you're looking at disruptiveness, and some people would argue, well, there's some people that exploit that rule, Trey, and they go to bathroom even when they don't need to. I agree, but I think when kids have more freedoms like this, you see less of that behavior. less manipulation of the system because they don't need to. They've got the freedom, that ability just to say, I'm going to go and blah, 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 and do this is there. And so this need to trick and manipulate going to the bathroom, I don't think happens. It doesn't happen. I mean, our kids don't lie about needing to go to the bathroom. Whenever they want to go, they go. They don't have to ask. They don't have to check. They don't have to see. Whenever they're hungry, they eat. Right? So we don't have to wait for exactly now. In our household, we typically, because we have so many kids that we have to feed at once, we typically do set them up right now because we're at the ages of 8 and below that we make meals for all the kids and distribute them out. Anna, our 8-year-old, is getting old enough now that we're kind of letting her make her own sandwiches now. As a matter of fact, in some cases, she'll volunteer and she'll make everybody's as well. And so, you know, there's a freedom in all of this that says you are capable of choosing what you want to do. Why don't you go do it? If kids need a break, if they want to go outside, whatever the heck they want to do, if they want to listen to music, if they want to doodle while they're learning, right? It allows a kid to understand themselves and then to act accordingly so that way they can learn however they want to learn. Number 10, I love this one. They love having educational choices. The reality is this. When you allow kids to be a part of their learning, they take an active interest because kids know what they like, they know what they love, and they know how they learn. Kids love to pick their own topics. You see, this is a homeschooling site that we're talking about here, traditional curriculum homeschooling site. However, this author, Chris, is onto something here whenever she talks about this whole delving into their favorite topics. See, that's unschooling. When we allow kids to choose what they're interested in, they have a tendency to learn what they love. And so we love this one, having some input in choosing their curriculum. I acknowledge that some kids like curriculum. They like books. They like taking tests. They like memorizing information. I don't care. What I want a kid to do is to feel free to choose it. So letting a kid, if they know they want to do workbooks, letting them choose their own dadgum workbooks and then follow their interest with electives choices. We love that. When kids love to do something, we let them elect to choose what they want to learn about, how they want to learn about, the methodology that they want to do it. And you're saying, well, Trey, there's no way. There's no way that a kid can do this. I will admit, if you're walking from a public school setting and moving into a homeschooling setting, I think there will be a little bit of struggle with that for some people. I think some kids really will have a hard time with that. Why is that? It's because in most cases, they've had everything selected for them. So yes, you may see some difficulty in choosing their interests and their elective choices, but give it time. Give it time. Allow a kid to get interested in something and then make every resource that they need to investigate that interest at their disposal. I think you will be surprised. Number 11, another great one. They like being able to work at their own pace and their own level. See, I've got kids that vary from one to the next, and This is actually one of the ones that one of my kiddos actually said that they liked, and I agree with it. My daughter, Anna, taught herself how to read quickly. However, Grant is just not that interested in it, and so he is not spending that much time reading. I noticed the other day he's picking up on a lot of stuff. However, my son has a knack for math. Anna's math still isn't all that good. But Grant is naturally picking it up. And instead of trying to drive reading into my son whenever he's more interested in math, or trying to drive math into my daughter whenever she really doesn't care, doesn't really do him good. And so this allows them to pick not only what do they like, what are they interested in. Neither one of my kids have said that they're not interested in reading. They both want to read. However, Grant's not that interested in figuring it out anytime soon. We've leveraged him with things like, hey, we're not going to read you what they say on Facebook or on Halo whenever there's, you know, like whenever the Arbiter talks and then it puts the translation at the bottom of it. He can't read it. We don't read those to him anymore. Frustrates him, but he doesn't care enough. And I'm not going to force that. I'm going to let that come naturally whenever he is ready. Number 18 was a favorite of mine, one-on-one teaching. This is what a kid said. One respondent said it best, because my mom is my teacher, she will explain things multiple times, multiple ways until I understand it. See, that's the beautiful thing. You know, the one of the bigger problems that I have with public schools today, and this is actually one of the more smaller problems, I guess. One of the smaller problems that I have with public schools today is that you have a teacher who gets in however many students they're going to get. If you're a small class like, you know, mine was in Sydney Independent School District in Sydney, Texas, then, you know, that you could have anywhere from 6 to 20 kids in a class, right? And when you have that, you come in, you sit down, you have a teacher, I'm thinking in the younger grades, you come in, you have a teacher who keeps you for a year, and then by the time they get to know you, you move on to the next teacher. Now, if there was a lot of discussion in between, you know, teachers and whatnot, that wasn't just the, hey, watch out for this kid kind of stuff in the teacher break room. Yes, I know not all teachers do that. But if there was more educational talking between teachers, it probably might work. But teachers learn a kid, and then they're gone. And then you have a new crop of kids that you have to relearn. And so one of the beautiful things about homeschooling is that you get to be a part of what makes them learn, what helps them learn. And so I can figure out what helps Grant learn. And I'm going to help him through his first grade, his second grade, his third grade, his fourth grade, his fifth grade stuff, all the way up as far as he wants to go in what he's learning. I get to know how he works better and help him incorporate that into what he wants to learn. So we love the one-on-one teaching. Outside of just the ratio factor that's better, it also just allows you to become more intimate in your kids' learning style and then help tailor what they are learning to how they best receive it. Another one of my personal favorites was number 25, learning for the sake of learning. They don't dread school, they enjoy it. That's right, man. That's the whole point. You see, most people have erroneously misunderstood. And we talked a little bit about this in the last episode with Lanny Liberty, where we discussed this mentality that we've confused the purpose of education to be to fill our kids with knowledge and understanding and all these other kinds of things. The reality, I don't think that's what learning is supposed to be about. Learning is not supposed to be about filling our kids with information. Learning is about teaching kids to fall in love with it. With that mentality that you want to learn something new? What? Oh, you want to learn about that? Then let's go do it. What do you need to get there? What kind of skills do you have to have that? Okay, well, you want to learn how to do complex quantum theory, right? Okay, what do you need to do that? We need a strong, you know, mathematic background. So you see what I'm saying? The mentality behind it is that it's learning for the sake of learning. It's not learning for a grade. It's not learning for academic success. It's not learning for individual achievement, which I've got an entire show planned out eventually on this mentality that a lot of people come up with, like you must have competition for kids to be able to learn well. That's not true. Research is backing that up. However, with that said, achievement isn't necessarily necessary through competition. When we are internally motivated, internally driven, we have a tendency to do better. And that's what we love about homeschooling is. It allows kids to get fired up about learning for their own sakes. It doesn't require extraneous prodding from us, no stimuli from parents. They do it because they want to do it. Let's see, number 30, going on vacation during the off season. See, I wanted to bring this one up because I think people get this idea that like homeschooling must be so completely different than traditional public schools. You know, what about summer? You can still do those kinds of things. You can still plan if you want to go on family vacations. Here's the kick. Number one, you can do it during the middle of the quote-unquote school season if you want, and you can go then, and you just take your school with you, and kids can still figure out a way to do it. Or two, if you need to take breaks, you can anytime, and you don't have to get permission from doctors or slips or pick up homework or any of that other junk. You just do what you got to do. You go and you take care of what you got to take care of. So this is the beautiful thing. If you need that summer break, you can take summer breaks in this. If you don't want to cram it all in and scooch through it as quickly as you can, that's no problem, man. Do what you like to do. Work at your own pace that works for you and your family. That's the thing about it. It's a lot like public school, except that there are even less restrictions and requirements on what you do and what you have to have done and et cetera and the time length and all that other good jazz. It's great. You can do it however works for you and your family. It's great. School breaks can include, this is number 35, school breaks can include video games and TV. Now you may, oh, well, that's great, Trey. That's really what I want my kid doing. You know, for our kids, that's a big reprieve for them. Getting to go back and play Minecraft together and pull out their iPads and play on those, that's a reprieve to them. And it really de-stresses them. And you can't do that at public schools. And it's not just video games and TV. There's a thousand other things that this can be. But if a kid's getting stressed out and needs to go read their fiction novel, they can. You can't really do that at school. If you get too stressed out, unless it's some kind of free time, you can't go do that. And then you got to contend, if you're that kid who goes off and reads in the side corner by themselves, you got to contend with the people that make fun of you and call you a weirdo or something like that. And I know this doesn't happen in all cases. However, it does happen. Number 41, had to pull this one, not having to be medicated. You see, the problem that I have, that there are extreme forms of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder that I really do believe warrant some levels of medication if the kid and the parents are okay with it. There are some levels. However, the largest portion, I'm guessing here, pure guess, guys. This is not statistical math here. But I'm going to bet 9 out of every 10 kid that I ever worked with that was diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, was not a kid that really needed it. They were just kids that had lots of energy. And that energy is frustrating. And when you're in a public school setting where you have to sit down, you have to be lectured by a teacher, where you have to listen to them, do everything that they say to do, when they say to do it, in the exact way that they say to do it, and then parrot that information back to them, and you can't doodle, and you can't bump your knee, and you can't sit there and talk, and you can't get up and move around, I understand why ADHD kids do not do well in public schools. It was not designed for them. I don't think it was designed for kids in general. A very specific, obedient class of kids. But outside of that, it wasn't designed for kids. So what do we have to do? If we were going to make a kid who doesn't naturally come disposed with what we're talking about here, then what do we have to do? We have to put medicine in them. We have to medicate them into submission. You see, if you have a kid who's ADHD, they're allowed to move around. They're allowed to do what they want. If they need to pace while they read their book, that's fine. If they need to get up and go outside or walk around, if they need to go into a room that's completely closed off, that doesn't have lots of stimulus around, that is fine. You see, the thing about homeschooling is it allows the learning environment to manipulate itself to be conducive to the learning, rather than it being an issue that the kid has to conform his behaviors and actions through medicine to become what the environment needs it to be. You know, it's funny, though, when I think about ADHD and these kinds of mentalities. You see, in therapy, there's the idea, especially in family systems therapy, there's this mentality that a healthy system should be that the parents feed into the kids to allow them to grow themselves into what they want to be. However, in twisted or in sick or unhealthy relationships and systems, what happens is that typically there's an abuser. That's not just the hitter, smack them in the face abuser. That can be the mental or emotional abuser. That can be the abuser who's absent all the time, doesn't come home, doesn't feed their kids and their emotional needs to have mommy or daddy home. That could be the one that yells at him. That could be the one that plays there was a really interesting article we read about gaslighting kids over the holidays. But this is the one that comes in and says, oh, you're fine. They hurt themselves and they're cut. You're fine. Quit crying. Well, they're not fine. They're cut and they're hurting, right? That's gaslighting. We're trying to convince them of something that is not true. And it's psychologically powerful as it is devastating. So we do these things to our kids. So in an unhealthy system, everybody typically around the abuser does whatever they have to do to make the abuser comfortable. They ignore the facts, they ignore all these other things, and they do whatever they have to do to keep the abuser happy. It's fascinating. This modern public school system fits the classic example of an abuser. Everybody else has to change to fit the needs of the school environment. That's free right there, guys. Normally, that's a whole podcast topic in and of itself. I didn't mean to go off on that rant, but that's the issue, is that a homeschooling environment allows the kid to be tailored to give in what they need, to put them in that situation to where they can succeed, not the abuser. Number 39, having a later bedtime. My kids attested to this one. This is one of the ones that they actually called out themselves. Most of my friends' kids are typically starting to bed down like around 8 o'clock and lights out by 9 o'clock. Well, we don't typically go lights out with my kids until 10, 10:30 sometimes. You're like, what? Why do you let them stay up that late? Yeah, frequently, because we don't have to be up until 8. So my kids sometimes, especially since time changed, normally my kids want to crawl into bed to about 8 o'clock to 8:15. Since the time change, they get into bed anywhere around 6 or 7, but sometimes they'll stay up until 10, doing whatever they want to do, watching a show, whatever it is they want to do. And so bedtimes just become a lot more of a moot issue. We don't have to fight our kids to get them into bed, because the reality is they get to stay up until they're excessively tired, and they go to bed and they drop right to sleep. But we don't make a big fuss out of them about getting into sleep before they're tired, because we don't have to. Number 43, enjoying close relationships with siblings. This is one of the ones that I've gotten to see close, at work right now with my kids. And I get to see how close my kids are and how much they enjoy being around each other, how much they help each other, they're kind to each other, how much they teach each other stuff. That's the neatest part is that now, you know, I thought it was going to have to be each individual kid I was going to have to teach what they needed to do, right? It's how I saw it. But I'm beginning to realize that Anna knows how Grant, my second oldest, my six-year-old, how he thinks. And so she begins to teach him stuff. And it's really fascinating. the relationship that they get to have with each other, how close they get to be. I mean, it's in a lot of ways, it's like having classmates for an eternity. Well, Trey, they need exposure to new people. I agree. There's an element that I agree that kids do need exposure. You know, that's the classic argument against homeschooling is how do you socialize them? The answer to that is if you're thinking so small you can't figure out how to socialize your kids, if you're not in a classroom for 8 hours a day where they have to sit and listen to a teacher with a few small breaks in between, if you can't figure out how to socialize your kids better than that, this might not be the podcast for you. I'm sure there's some great places out there that have great tips for working with your kids in the public school. This may not be for you. But that close relationship that I get to see them have is invaluable. It's helping them establish themselves. And, you know, that's another part to it, too, is that, you know, getting to teach kids that ability to be around each other all day long like that and not hate each other's guts, it's an art form. It's one that we've had to work at with them, and we're seeing success in them. They don't hate each other. We have an 8, a 6, and a 4-year-old that are thick as thieves. They love each other. They hang out with each other all the time. They take care of each other. They don't hate each other. Now, I know everybody's going to argue, well, you just wait. First off, you suck. The people that just say you just wait, just because you had a sucky experience does not mean that everybody else is going to. However, I've also got to practice and exercise a little wisdom here. I have also been wrong about these things in the past. And the things that I thought we'll never struggle with, we did too. And so this is not me saying definitively, I know this will never be a problem. What I'm saying is that 8 and 6 years old, we're already doing pretty well with it. I think it's because they get to share this close relationship with kids, or as siblings, I should say. Number 48, homeschool teens like learning time management by scheduling their own schoolwork. You know, the best thing I remember is that when I graduated, I went to a state school, Tarleton State University. And one of the things that I loved the most about it when I got there was that they sat down and said, okay, you need these and these and these classes. These are what classes you have to choose from. And I was in love. Because up until that point, you got to show up at 8 o'clock and you've got all your classes scheduled out for you. My high school year, I got to have a little flexibility in what I was able to go to and when I did it. But not much. And when I went to college, I was in love with it because I'm a preloader type of guy. I like to get everything that I can done as quickly as I can so that way I've got the rest of the time to relax throughout the week. So what I did was I scheduled everything Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday if I could, Thursday if I had to, and then I tried to schedule everything from 8 o'clock until noon if I could. If I could get all my classes in between 8 to 12 on Monday through Thursday, I considered that a success. Now, I had those outlier days where some days I would have to, you know, have a 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the evening class, or some days I couldn't get anything earlier than the 2 or the 3 or the 4 o'clock class. I mean, it happened. But most of the time you could because nobody really wanted the early morning classes, and I loved it. And there's just those kids that are gonna go berserk on this because some kids want to get up early and they want to get everything done. Some of them want to sleep in till noon and then get up and do the work in the afternoon. And if that's where they get their best work done, then you do it. But Trey, my kid says that they do better by doing it in the evening, but then they try it, then they suck it up. I know they wouldn't have a good response with that. Then we talked to them about it. Hey, listen, I noticed that you've been getting up at noon. And I thought this might work. We've been getting up at noon, and I've noticed that you said you're going to get up and you're going to do this, and then it's not happening. And really what's happened is you're sitting there doing this, and you're sitting there and doing that. Talk to me about this. This does not seem to be working for you. Sometimes just holding their feet to the fire will fix the problems. I mean, I'm going to give 50-50. 1 out of 2 chances, when I tell my kids that, most of the time they fix it. But if they don't, then we can start to say, hey, listen, this isn't working. Okay, I mean, this is creating these results. We need to come up with something better. What do you think we can do? What's going to work better than this? And you'd be amazed at how well that works with kids. So allowing kids to manage their own time around themselves, I think, is not only is it goal, it sets them up to be entrepreneurs. And I think that lifestyle is one of the best. All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up on this one here. Number 49, plenty of time to eat lunch. Said, my oldest used to hate having to gobble down her food. Most days it came home uneaten because she didn't have time. I like that too. See, that's particularly good. My Anna and Grant are I don't want to call them speed eaters. They're pretty good. My son eats too fast. We're working with him. My daughter Anna eats just about right, but my daughter Cora, she's a 4-year-old. She eats right. In my personal opinion, she eats slow and she's meticulous. And when all the other kids have cleared out and left the table, she will continue to eat nice and slow. And I love that. She would do poorly in public schools because the way they force kids to gobble down food as quickly as they can, the way she eats, I mean, she can take over an hour to eat her food. See, I appreciate that. She's not playing. She just eats and chews slowly. I think out of all of my kids, she's the one that one day, when she's old enough, I'm going to have her be my nutritional trainer. No joke. I'm not trying to be funny here. I mean, she literally eats healthy, she eats well, and she eats slow. And I think she's going to always be my petite little baby girl. And so I'm actually one day going to take her advice on what she – I'm basically just going to wait for her to tell me what to eat and how to eat, because she just naturally came out with good skills on that. But she would not do well in these settings. And I think that it's a major piece to teaching gluttony when we teach our kids to eat and scarf their food fast. So this is a wonderful – a wonderful idea, a wonderful thing. So those are kind of there's 50 of these total, guys. And I just covered my favorite ones, or the ones that I heard my kids say. And so there's a whole bunch more of these. I will have this weird unsocialized homeschoolers.com link in the show notes today if you want to go read the other 50. And so I want you guys to be thinking about it. For those of you guys who are on the fence, and for those of you guys who have kids in public schools, and both of you guys are working, but there's just something about all this that's been tugging at your heart. I want y'all to be thinking about these things. I'm not trying to tell you that you need to do homeschooling. I'm not telling you that homeschooling is right for you. There are a select group of people that this is just not going to work for them. So, with that said, this message is for those who this has been tugging at your heart. So you and your spouse, I'm gonna encourage you guys that it needs to be both of y'all. Both of this needs to be tugging on both of y'all's heart. Talk about these things. Think about these things. What are these things are you having problems with at school? Do you think, man, that really would solve this problem? Fill in the blank. Homeschooling is not some magic elixir panacea with no problems. You will run into problems and issues, and now you don't have a principal and a teacher to go to give that problem to. You got to solve your own. However, I think that homeschooling, and particularly for us, unschooling, is the thing. I think it is the future of education. A lot of you guys out there are Jack Spirko listeners over at the Survival Podcast. I think Jack's right. As a guy who has studied developmentally what's best for kids and where we are going in this country, I think he's right. Self-learning is going to become the thing. This public school system is decrepit and it's old, and it's based off of a system that was never designed to help kids really learn. And I think it's going to go the way of the dodo soon enough. So I want you guys to consider, if nothing else, start considering being a part of the revolution here. A group of people that are going to take it incumbent upon themselves, just like we take it incumbent to help keep our kids physically healthy and mentally healthy, that we also keep them educationally healthy. Are you going to be some of those first people that are going to step out and say, this system sucks and it's not working? We got great people trying to make it work, but it's great people jumping into a car that is so old and so rusted, it ain't going to run the way it's supposed to. Are you going to be a part of that? Are you going to be a part of maybe even joining this thing before the school system fails us completely? Or, worse yet, it starts to get even more statist for those of you guys out here who share that opinion. Are you going to go ahead and get out and get practicing this stuff early? Yes, yes, it may come a sacrifice. But I want you to consider, is making more money in a bigger house and more brand new cars more important than your kid growing up loving to learn? Well, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget to come and join us this Wednesday, where we'll have another episode of the Family Podcast Network. We've got a couple more guests that we're going to be bringing on before the 2015 year. You're definitely going to want to come check those out. They are going to be good. The topics that we've got are excellent. Hope you guys have a great day and a great week. We'll see you all on Wednesday.